Hey, y'all, so that boldly alive in 25, the title of this message is Boldly I Go. Sorry, my wife just offered me a wet wipe, and I'm like, it's kind of sticky, so y'all be seeing me do this all morning long. I don't know. Yeah. I hate that, though, you know, right? Let me have the wet wipe. I can't deal with it. I'm not OCD, but there's a few things that drive me crazy, and that's one of them. Oh. Thank you, baby. Y'all give my wife a round of applause, please. So, hey, by the way, do y'all like this coat? Okay, so this is what's inspired this sermon, believe it or not. As y'all know, I wear a sport coat when I preach, like Pastor Corey. And so I found some coats this earlier in February from a company out of Amarillo. They were at the Houston Livestock Show. And I bought a couple of new coats. Well, I found out they were going to be at the Cowboy Christmas when we were at Vegas. So, man, Larry goes, you need some new coats. Let's go look. So we went and looked. And I found a real pretty one that I didn't obviously don't have on today. But and then saw this one, and she goes, ooh, you got to try that one. I said, yeah, but because all I'm thinking is preaching. You know, I'm not thinking that I could wear this somewhere else, you know. And so she said, just try it on. So I tried on shoes. So I looked at it, and I liked it. But that part of me is going, is it too bold? I mean, you know, is it too bold to preach in? Is it? And I'm like, okay, you know, and that part of my mind is still fighting. So I bought this one and another coat. And so as I was working on this message, it was boldly I go. And I'm driving down 29, and I've been listening to praise music, and the Holy Spirit says, wear the coat. And I went, but are you sure? Wear the coat. Now, he said, also, I will give you the message that goes with the coat, so wear the coat. Got it. This coat is, back in my younger day, would not be bold at all for me because I wore stuff bolder than this. But as I've matured, not quite as bold. Thank you, y'all. But what the Holy Spirit told me was, this doesn't make me bold. This doesn't make me a bold Christian because I wore this to church today. This coat has nothing to do with me being bold. Amen? It's not the kind of car you drive that makes you a bold Christian. It's not, for some of you, and I hope, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Y'all might want to rethink this if this might be you. I'm not picking on you, but, you know, I see people with the cowboy logo thing with the cowboy at the cross on the back of their window, and then you change lanes and they whip around you and wave at you funny. Because they thought you did something ugly, and they've got a Christian sticker on the back of or just a I love Jesus sticker on the back, and they just cut you off and waved at you funny. See, those bumper stickers that say, I love Jesus, doesn't make you a bold Christian. Sometimes, as we'll talk about in a minute, we'll get there. So, those things we have to understand doesn't make us a bold Christian. What makes us a bold Christian? How we speak makes us a bold Christian. And I take it further than that, it's also a bold believer. See, because how are you speaking? And honestly, I've been studying on what you speak and how you speak for 2 or 3 weeks. And then it's funny because Pastor Corey, when he's preached, he's thrown in there the last couple of times he's preached about what you say is very important. And I went, well, please don't preach what I'm supposed to preach, please. You know, Holy Spirit's so good, sets everything up so well. So, what we say, make sure, get this right, because I wrote this down. What we say is shaping the unseen. What we say is shaping the unseen. See, spoken words program our spirit for success or defeat. If you look at or remember back or think back, that, you know, our God is a speaker. Because if you start in Genesis 1, He said, and it says that in the Bible. I'm quoting Bible. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Yeah. He said, let there be cows and foals and fishes in the sea and water and tiny seedlings to grow. I read that this morning in Genesis. It's funny how a long time you hadn't read a whole bunch of the Genesis. And you go back and you start saying, oh man, I forgot that. You need to do that. See, our God spoke stuff into existence. And then in the Old Testament, one of the things that the Old Testament, it stuck out was, is three people. They had a band. Well, not really, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar was fixing to throw them in the fire, and he said, I'm not going to throw you in the fire if you will bow down and you'll worship my golden statue. Now, here these three people are facing death, and they boldly say, no, we will not do that. We will serve our God. And what is so cool about how bold they were when they said it is that they said, and because he will bring us out of the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, we'll still serve our God. See, that's bold when somebody's got you in the face of death and they say, no, I serve God, my God, the real one and only God. Then Jesus comes along, and after Jesus dies on the cross, you remember before, Peter and them had trouble preaching, God had sent them out, and they weren't just real on fire about preaching the gospel. They tried. They tried to heal people. And they weren't successful with it. And Jesus would get frustrated. But after Jesus' ascension, and then they saw Jesus do it. Jesus spoke. He spoke to storms. He spoke to people. He didn't even have to lay hands on people, y'all. He went, the guy by the pool, y'all remember him? The one that drug his mat out there and had people help him and he couldn't walk. Jesus said, you want to walk? He said, yeah. He said, get up. He spoke to him. He said, get up and get your mat and get out of here. And he did. But after Jesus ascended, Peter started boldly preaching the gospel. He was healing people. The disciples were healing people. Paul raised somebody from the dead because of what they spoke, because they were bold about what they spoke. They didn't look at somebody trying to heal them and go, you have to speak. They said, be healed. They probably didn't go, okay, now, okay. You be healed if you can. No. You see, what they had been through and what they had seen and what they had seen Jesus do, they became bold. That's what we've got to start doing, y'all, is boldly alive in 2025. Man, it is time that we don't be afraid to speak Jesus. It's time that when the situation's right, that you learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit to speak Jesus. Amen. Y'all don't be mad at me. I'm telling you. You know, this one really got me too. I found this example. This is just the intro. We ain't even to the meat of the message yet. Let's get warmed up. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? I read that before she touched the hem of the garment, she said, and it says in the Bible, for she saith, that's King James for say, or said, or something, for she saith, if I can just touch his garment, I will be whole. I will be healed. See, she spoke it before she ever did it. And that's just what I read a while ago. That what we say is shaping the unseen. Amen? Isn't that so cool? It works, y'all. See, there's people that have that doubting, that doubter stuff. That doubter stuff like, well, it might work for others, but I don't know if it works for me. Well, have you tried it? And did you believe? Whoa. See, we're fixing to learn in just a minute how that goes together. Whew. Our word is so good. Amen. Laurie and I, last week, we watched, and probably a lot of y'all have seen it, Heaven's for Real. I'd always heard about it, never got to read the book, but I saw it pop up. We got Netflix the other day. But it popped up. So we watched it. And I'm going to tell y'all something. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. Oh, my Lord. Because this little four-year-old kid doesn't die, but he goes to heaven. And see, that's what was so cool about that, because I've heard people say, they lost me on the table. I flatlined, was in heaven, and then came back. And I believe it. This little four-year-old boy, though, they never documented that he died. He never flatlined. He never was brain dead. He was never nothing. But in the movie, he says he said it to his dad one time. He said, "Yeah, I saw Mom in the lobby making phone calls while I was in there, back there." And he said, his dad's a pastor. And he said, "I saw you in the chapel screaming at God." And his dad's like, "When? What?" And so this is how the dad finds out. But as it went on, his dad got curious, starts asking questions. He showed him a picture, you know, that old picture of Jesus, that one with the long hair and stuff. And he goes, "Is that what he looked like?" Because he saw Jesus. Jesus held his hand and they walked through heaven. Now, some of you out there right now may be going, "Oh, I don't believe that. I feel bad for you. I hate it that you don't believe." This little boy said, "That's not Jesus." He said, "Really?" As it went on, he told his dad about meeting his dad's granddad. And he went, "What?" And he asked his dad, said, "Is this him?" And it was a picture of him when he was old. He said, "No, I didn't see him." And he said, "Found him when he was younger." And he says, "That's him." He said, "Dad, everybody's young in heaven." Oh, praise God. That ought to make somebody shout right now. Amen. Some of you who don't have hair will have hair in heaven. Praise God. But do y'all hear what I'm saying? This four-year-old, no beans about it. "I saw Jesus. I was in heaven. I walked around in heaven. It was beautiful. It was peaceful." See, but the whole church started having a fit when they found out. "Well, we don't want the church turning into a circus." Doesn't matter. You don't believe that the boy went to heaven? See, isn't that the end goal for Christians? Yeah, this is a sidebar because wasn't part of the... But it really, at that time when we and Laurie and I were watching, I'm thinking, why didn't the people believe? Did they not want to believe, or are they scared to believe? Are you scared to believe that you could be healed? But that little boy, see, the word says that we are supposed to worship God as children. Now, some of you parents, as we learn how to boldly speak Jesus, I remember that, you know, when I was younger, my kids, they imitate their father. So you have to learn to watch what you say. Because you'll find out what your wife will tell you what you said. Do you understand this? Four-year-old boy, you're seeing it nowadays. Golly. Because this has to come out. So y'all are, I was thinking about skipping, but I'm not. I can't. Because as I've been studying about boldly speaking, I'm not a big football fan, but I like football. And in the college playoffs, I've got my diplomas, orange and white. I know that bothers some of you, but I'm sorry. I like all Texas teams. Amen? Now, so I watched football this past week, college football. I saw more young men proclaiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior than I've ever seen on TV. Here's another thing about it, y'all, is the networks aren't cutting away like they used to. I'm going to tell you something, because this fires me up. I wish y'all would get fired up like I am. This lady interviewed the young man, the quarterback from Notre Dame, Riley Leonard. Man, he just had this sweet spirit. Man, I could feel it. You know, you could feel that he had Jesus in him. And when she said, "You know, what would you like to say?" He said, "I want to thank Jesus, my Lord and Savior." And we see that for years. You know, I think I used to a bunch of them rehearse that. Right? that my first chance, I'm going to tell them Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It wasn't that way. He said, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they talked, and she asked him something, said, how was that possible? And he said, with God, all things are possible. I mean, this man's preaching. He's preaching in an interview, and he's a college boy, young man. Excuse me. And at the end of the interview, I didn't catch it all, but she said, thank you. And he said, thank you, sweet blessings to you. I went, whoa, praise God. I saw one of Quinn Ewers the other day, and he was talking about they have a Bible study first, and a lot of the players are starting to join and come. I saw a reel the other day of a one, and it's not just Texas. I've seen Ohio, other people. But I saw a Texas player after the game when they played ASU and that good running back they had. And they went over and he said, can I pray for you? And they bent down. Those are what's going on, because those guys, they're stars, but they're not stars, y'all. But they're boldly speaking Jesus. Amen? Come on. So, what does the Word say about boldly speaking? Y'all ready to get into this? So I checked, and the average words that we speak a day, man and woman, because I know some of you are going to go, oh, yeah, right, and point. Don't point, no pointing, please. And I included men and women together. We're not separating this out, y'all. I'm not going there. I'm smarter than that. The average person speaks 15,000 words a day. Yeah. In the Bible, the word mouth is mentioned 415 times. The word lips, 320-something times, and the tongue, 161. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? Excuse me while I have a sip. So I want y'all to... real quick, find James. Sorry, I told Howdy this morning, he goes, so we were talking, he said, were you studying? I'm sorry. I said, no, I'm good. I said, because this is one of those, you know, sometime you know it's going to go just like this, and then today I could throw notes and everything, and so we're just going. Y'all find James 3. We're just going to go where the Holy Spirit says. James 3. So I'm going to start in verse 2 as you go ahead and look. I'm not hurrying you, but I'm going to start here. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to also bridle the whole body. Whew. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, we though be so thought they're so great and are driven fierce winds, yet are they turned about. With a very small hem, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, what I want you to do is go to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9. Y'all listen to this. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and there we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You know, I took that scripture and thought about it. So, do you realize that we say things out of our same mouth that we praise our God for? We say something bad about somebody, but yet we give God all the praise and glory. And the Bible says it should not be that way. And you know what? It will change how you talk when you start resting on that script, that one scripture right there. What's truly coming out of my mouth, is that going to edify somebody? Is it going to help me? Is it going to help somebody else? Or is it something that I wouldn't want in my mouth? See, when we learn to look at that way, then our speech, what we speak, will start changing. When the doctor says, you're sick, and you say, oh no, I'm healed in Jesus' name, because you're not putting that sickness in my mouth, I'm going to speak the word of God, because that's what the word says, that we are healed by Jesus' stripes. Amen? You don't have to turn here, but James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Oh, this is good. If you're looking at James 1:19, then you might want to underline this. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. You see, we have to learn more about what we're going to say than you say something and go, oh, did I really say that? I've been there. I've done it. But as I've grown in the Word, I'm learning how not to do that. Amen? And I don't mean this wrong, and this is something that's so helpful, but my wife helps me with that, because occasionally I say something, I don't cuss anymore. I used to. But I say something that was not biblically correct as far as, you know, oh, wow, this hurts or that hurt. Or it's hard to think of an example. But she'll go, wait, really? Did you mean that? And I go, oh, you're right. See, because she helps me. I don't get mad at her for helping me. I thank her for helping me. Yeah, because I don't want that in my mouth. And it's really neat when I get to tell her one about every 2 months or 3 months or 10 months. I'm going, ooh, she finally let missed. Because it don't happen very often, y'all. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. I told this story long ago, but I'll tell you, because it's like that believing the little boy that went to heaven. You believe or you don't believe. You start studying the Word of God, you find out it is true. And it works in your life if you use it and don't give up on it, because God's not going to give up on you. This power of life and death, I told this about 6 years ago when I first, 7 years ago when I first started preaching here. It's about my great-granddaddy. He lived to be 102, sane till the day he died, healthy till the day he died, till he passed and went to heaven. His physical body died. The night before he passed, he'd been telling my mom and my dad's grandpa, and that's who I inherited fiddle playing from. And he always told my mom and dad were dating and when they got married, he said, I'm going to live to be 100 years old and I'm going to go to sleep and not get up. He's 102. He's in a nursing home, healthy. They brought him supper he didn't eat. They're trying to make him eat. They call us and say, hey, Grandpa said he's done. Grandpa said they're trying to make him eat. He's not hungry. He's tired. He's ready to go to heaven. He said if anybody wants to say bye tonight to call or come by, he'd love to see him. If not, he won't be here in the morning. Y'all know what happened? He was out. Amen. Praise God. See, he confessed that gosh, mom and dad been married 68 years and they'd been married a long time then. He professed that. And it came to pass, only he missed by 2 years. He said 100, he lived to be 102. He went out healthy. See, you can start speaking that now over you and your family and your kids. And that's how powerful our words are, y'all. How powerful. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the Holy Spirit showed me that's tied to Matthew 12:34. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, our words shape the unseen. What influences what we speak? Our flesh. Our flesh. People you're around. People that you work with, or you hang out because you've just been friends for a long time, and you know what they say, and you've just... When you get to a point in your walk, you're like, yeah, I don't want to be around that. Man, I love you, but I'm just not going to be around that. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear somebody that's whining and complaining and moaning all the time. Man, I want to be somebody that's fired up for God and just go, I love you, Lord. Man, because that fires me up. Are you boldly speaking around your friends? You talk to them about Jesus. See, I'm not telling you that you should or you shouldn't. You've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit going to tell you what to do if you so be slow to speak and quick to hear. Well, that scripture just says a lot, doesn't it? And says so few words. I looked up that for Hebrews 13:6 says, "For I boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." That word bold is really cool to me. Bold in the Greek usage of freedom to speak openly without fear. Without fear. See, because I remember when I first started really following Jesus, I was afraid to speak about Jesus. You know? I was new at it. I didn't know. I knew I loved the Lord, but I didn't know. Man, somebody might make fun of me if I say something about Jesus. You know what? Now I don't care. I care more about pleasing God than I do anybody else. Amen? And it's pleasing to God when we're talking about Him and when we're talking about Jesus. Amen? It's used to describe the courage and assurance that believers have in Jesus. Boldness is the courage to act or speak fearlessly despite real or imagined dangers. And don't we do that a lot? We let our minds imagine fear and get in doubt and fear and that yunk. Amen? See, boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told me that. What do we do to be bold speaking? The first thing I think is, for me, is we pray as Paul did. To give us supernatural boldness to speak as God would have us speak. That's the first thing. I'd be praying for that. See, so if you're unsure, like you really want to, but you're not sure, that's what I'll do. I'd start praying for that, asking God for that. Number two, believe. See, you got to believe in God. You've got to believe what you're saying is true. Because if you don't believe what you're saying is true, how can you boldly speak it? Amen? Now, this is the last one. I'm bringing this on in pretty quick. Coming in hot. Number three, apply myself to the Word. Now, we've always heard, and this is, I got just enough time. We've always heard the other way around. You apply the Word to yourself, right? And it's apply the Word to yourself. Apply the Word to yourself. That's only part of the equation. As I was studying this, it found that it said to apply myself to the Word. I'm like, what's the difference? So I'm going to tell. I'm glad y'all asked. So if you're taking notes, put apply the Word and put a line under it. Then on the other side of the page, put apply myself to the Word, put a little line under it. Y'all with me? So the difference is, and you need to do both of these. The first thing under apply the Word to me is you read. See, that's kind of passive. You're doing something, but you're not. You're reading the Word. You're reading the Bible. Amen? Now, apply myself to the Word means to take what you've been reading and put it in action. It's like Mark 11:23 says, speak to the mountain. You believe in your heart that what you say is true, then it will be removed if you believe what you saith. Oh, the Word says saith, it believed, if you believe what you say. So you're putting into action what you read. Amen? You with me? The next thing under apply the Word to me is to pray. To pray. Now you're doing something, you're praying. That's not a lot of action. Apply myself to the Word means I have to start believing what I'm praying for. Because I'm applying what I'm praying for over here. And that takes some action. And it's in different points and where you're at with your walk, that believing thing is tough sometimes. It's like, I have to believe that? Well, the Word says, yes, you do. I mean, you don't have to. You have that choice. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, the last thing. Apply the Word to me. This is the last thing under it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. on apply myself to the word, on that one right across from it, you put do what the Holy Spirit says do. Now see, that's where it gets a little tough for some. And it used to be tough for me. That's applying myself to the word. I've applied the word to me, and now I'm going to take me and I'm going to start applying the word. Amen? Make sense? Everybody clear? Okay. Quick story. I'm winding down. When we were in Las Vegas not too long ago, we had gone to the store, ran to the store because we were going to get water, because water's like $20 a 20-ounce bottle, you know. Well, not really. It's close, though. It seems like it's forever expensive. So we thought, we were fortunate the place we were staying had a refrigerator. A lot of them don't. And so we went and we were getting some water. Well, Laurie had gone one way and I'd gone another. And so I'm carrying water and I think a deal of Coke Zero. I'm walking through there, you know, and I'm looking for her, you know, and there's not very many. It's in the morning. And there was a black lady sitting right here, young lady, in the pharmacy. They're waiting on it to open. And I'm walking by, I stop and look. She kind of looks at me and said, I lost my wife. So I start walking off, and the Holy Spirit said, go pray for her. And I went, okay. I went, and I sat down, set this stuff next to her in the chair, and I said, ma'am, I don't know if you've got something going on in your life, but the Holy Spirit told me to come pray for you. May I pray for you? And she goes, absolutely. So I put my hand on her shoulder, and I prayed over her, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I just prayed strength. I just prayed over her, got through, and she said, thank you so much. I said, picked up the deal. Well, Laurie walked up about time. I said, hey, baby. She goes, your wife just got through praying for me, too. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. There's a reason. I don't know. I didn't ask. But he said, pray. I did. And then I'm picking the coke. I was like, you did. And we were walking. I said, you didn't tell me you prayed. She said, well, I haven't seen you to tell you that I pray for her. She got me there. But see, the Holy Spirit knew that lady needed that. Laurie prayed for her, and then I came and prayed for her later. You know, that girl's going, woo, and she's thanking Jesus, I would be. That Holy Spirit is intervening on her part, whatever's going on in her life. Do y'all really realize that I have been a part of this? I have missed. I have not heard the Holy Spirit, or I heard and didn't do anything about it when I first got into the ministry, because I didn't understand. Because I didn't have bold speaking. But starting in 2025, we are going to have boldly alive in 2025. I am telling y'all, I am so fired up for Jesus. It's been so good. Just, you know, we were talking on stage this morning, the revival and stuff that you see these young men, and they're allowing it on TV to talk about God and Jesus at a football game. It's about dadgum time. Amen. Amen. And those boys are starting movements that will last a lifetime. Amen? So I ask you this. Okay, I don't ask you this yet. I started doing something. When I started in this studying about being bold for God, and I started about 3 weeks ago, it was right before Pastor Corey, right before we got back from the NFR, I think. And he said that he always gets up and he says, I expect something good to happen to me every day. He says that every day. Well, I had been saying a confession that or a profession, you know, because confession and profession, they all run together. If you study those three words, and I was going to tell y'all, but I don't have time on that part. But what you profess is really important. What are you saying? How are you starting your day? So you know what I started this about 3 weeks ago. I started saying, this is what I say. And y'all can say it with me. You can say after me. Say, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I quench every fiery dart the wicked one brings against me. And then what Corey added, I added that to my confession. I expect good things to happen to me today. Now, I'm not telling you have to do that, but when you get up every morning and you start saying that stuff. You come up with your own confession if you need one. Like, if I get a toothache or something, then I throw in and I'm healed by Jesus' stripes in my confession. I add that to it if I need to, right? What are you confessing? What are you confessing in the morning? Are you boldly speaking Jesus? Now I will ask you. So you've decided to follow Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus to come into your heart and save you, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed. We never not do a church service that we don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't wait. Be bold in 2025 and make today your God day. So what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer and we're going to say it out loud. All you believers, I want you to say it with us. Y'all know how we do this here. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to do it today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to say this. And all you believers, say it with us. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died and then he rose from the dead. And today, I make him my Lord and Savior, boldly, in Jesus' name. Now, before you raise your head and we say amen, if you just accepted Jesus, you said that prayer for the first time, I just want you to, and I'm going to count to three, get your hand up so we can get you a Bible. Don't be afraid. That's what we're talking about. Being bold about Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. We want you to acknowledge Jesus in front of me because the Bible says that if we acknowledge Jesus in front of man, he'll acknowledge us to the Father. Man, you want that. So on the count of three, if you just accepted Jesus, boldly get that hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? I see you back there. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Y'all look up here. Man, we got a new one, and brother in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Proud. Proud. Wow. I feel like I ran a race. Are y'all okay? I may need oxygen after this one. I don't know. Howdy, come on up. Whew, thank you, Lord. Man, it's such an honor to get to minister along with Howdy and Rusty and Corey, and just honored that y'all allow us to minister to you. Thank you.